Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to Black Women Amplified, the podcast. Your host, Monica Wisdom Tyson, brings you downloadable conversations that matter to women around the globe. We discuss all things Black girl magic, amplify our voices, and transform our challenges into triumphs. Monica calls on her league of extraordinary women to push our boundaries, share their expertise, and stories of personal transformation. Welcome your host of Black Women Amplified, Monica Wisdom Tyson.
Hey, Black Women Amplified, this is Monica Wisdom. I hope that you are doing very, very well. Thank you for joining us, and I'm excited for you to hear this conversation today. I don't know why, every time I get on this microphone now, I just want to start singing Beyoncé's new song, Texas Hold'em. It is a catchy tune, real catchy, but I will not do that. I will save your ears, but you know, just imagine I jammed out to it before I got on this mic to hype myself up. And I'm incredibly excited about who we have on the show today. But let me give you a little bit of background. Let me slow down so I can get my words together. There was a time on Twitter when we used to have a lot of fun. And there was a moment, I don't know how long it lasted, but there was a thing, I'll call it a thing, a moment where they were talking about tweet things into existence because people were tweeting what they wanted to manifest, what they wanted to happen in their lives, opportunities that they wanted to have, and it would come true to the point where Twitter made a whole ad campaign about it, tweet into existence. So there were billboards all over the place where people had tweeted what they wanted to happen. And then the follow-up tweet that it happened. Well, I did it. And let me add to the story. I was scrolling through Twitter one day, because that used to be my hangout, and I found a radio show called Color Me Country. Color Me Country showcased all of these Black and brown people who did country music. I had no idea that there was a slew of Black and brown people, indigenous people, male, female, everything in between that were singing country music. And it was good music, excellent music. And you know, I'm always looking for something new and something different because I rarely listen to the radio. I don't think I've been a radio listener in 10 years. And when I came across some people, you know how you go down a rabbit hole? I went down the rabbit hole and started listening to people, following people. And around this time, I had just completed the Black Women in the Arts series. Forgive me if this country accent is coming up. I don't know where it's coming from, but like I always tell people, Missouri is the upper south, so it comes out. Anyway, I tweeted out, I would love to do a Black Women in Country Music series. And there were three people that I put on the list. Mickey Guyton, Reese Palmer, and Chapel Hart. And I looked up the tweet. I did this tweet on January 7th, 2023. Well, Reese Palmer, we connected. And you know, she was on season 2. Guess what, y'all? Chapel Hart is here with us today. Strong lyrics, passionate performances, and global accolades describe our special guest today. Country music sensation, Chapel Hart. This Mississippi-born trio boldly carry the legacy of powerful women in country music. Singing together since childhood, sisters Devin, Danica, and cousin Tree burst onto the big stage when they were asked to join the television show America's Got Talent. Their energetic performances garnered the attention of country music greats Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton. With a fresh perspective of Dolly's iconic song Jolene, You Can Have Him, Jolene earned them the title International Group of the Year in Scotland. They were also nominated by the British CMAs for Album of the Year for their sophomore release, The Girls Are Back in Town. Beyond their dynamic tours and television appearances, they maintain a close kinship with their fans they affectionately call the congregation. Connectivity and authenticity are the secret sauce behind their monumental success. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Black Women Amplified podcast, Danica, Devin, and Tree, the powerful women of Chapel Heart. Hello, ladies. How are you all? And welcome to the Black Women Amplified podcast. I am so excited that you're here.
Hello. Hey. We are excited to be here.
I have to tell you, before we get started, a very good, my brother friend wanted me to tell you all hello. He worked with you on America's Got Talent the first time. Kevin Mays.
What's his name?
Kevin Mays. He did your costume.
Yes!
We were talking the other day about all the things, and he said, these girls are so good. You should interview them.
Well,
I was like, well, who is it?
Danica, we love Kevin.
Now, who is Kevin? Oh. She was like, he did your
girl.
And that's all she had to say. You tell Kevin, Danica said hello. I miss him so much.
Yes, we love Kevin. Oh, my goodness.
I told him next event we do in LA, we got to come get him to get our dresses. And so he can do them. I said, we're going to take over the world in this fashion.
He just did
his little laugh. He said, come on, girl, let's do it.
Oh, he's ready. He loves y'all. He said, you should interview these girls, the Heart girls. I said, Chapel Heart? He said, yeah. I said, I interviewed them on Thursday, Kevin. And he just went in.
That's my friend.
He's working with Fantasia, so all of her red carpet for...
Oh, wow. Kevin, red carpet dresses,
and that was immaculate.
This is all coming back around. I just saw a post the other day talking about her designer, and he has been eating the
girls. You gotta get it. Look, you gotta text Kevin, tell him, can you give us his number? Because I got to call and scream on the phone for a minute, okay? Speaking of Black excellence, come on.
Yes. Now listen. He went on and on. I can see the love is real.
Some people meet friends, and some people you meet them and you meet your family for the first time. And I feel that.
Yes. He's definitely that person. And he doesn't go on and on about too many people because he works with everybody. So that meant a lot. So I would consider myself country-ish, born and raised in what I call the Upper South. Kevin and I were both born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. One thing I love about country is the storytelling. So please tell me about the stories that Chapel Heart tells.
This is Tree, and I feel like most of the stories we tell either come from personal experience or like stories of other people around us that we've heard. And sometimes like just thinking of like a specific situation and kind of just running with it. But I think they're just those real stories about life in general.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. I remember growing up on country music, the true story to Mandrell Sisters, Charlie Pride, because my uncle was a country Western singer. And so every time I was sitting next to him, he was listening to country music or watching a Western.
Yeah.
That's why I call us the Upper South. And you all grew up in Mississippi, which is rich in Southern culture. And right now there is a spotlight on Black women in country music. So I feel like as a Midwesterner, I need a little bit of a lesson. What is country? And what's the difference between Southern, Western, and country?
That's a good question. I'm writing this down, okay? I'm going to let somebody else go first, and I'm going to jump in. But I think that's a really good distinction. I think that, I'll take one. I think that Southern, to me, describes it is the Southern hospitality. Yes. It is the feel. It is the heart. It is the soul of the South. It is who you are and your being. It is your... I feel like that we're really known, like we're known for like that super like niceness. One thing about it, it's like you cannot drive into the South and not be full and not be fed. Let me tell you, we will feed a stranger, we will feed a homeless person, we will feed dogs and cats that do not belong to us. It is just in us. And I think that that is that part. But also I think there's two sides of that coin. It's that overly, like, we just, it's like a mothering.
Yeah.
Of a people.
I feel like Southern.
But the other side of that coin, honey, we can cuss you out and roll our neck and never move out and go,
bless your heart. Yeah.
That, I think that's Southern. Now, it kind of irks me sometimes people use it wrong.
Right. I feel like Southern is what you can feel, and like Western is what you see. Because when people hear Western, I think their mind instantly goes to like
ranches and horses. Cowboys and
that aspect of it.
Which I think is an aspect, but now I think I moved more.
It's okay.
And I kind of feel like country, I've learned that, like, I feel like country is, like, if Southern is, like, the feeling and, like, the way the people are, I feel like country is more so kind of, like, the lifestyle, because I didn't think I'd realize this, but as we traveled around, like, there are country people all over. They might not even have that, like, that nice, genteel Southern hospitality, but they grew up, like, living that rural life, that small town feel. Does that make sense? No, like, because we've met country people in New York, and they are country as heck, but they're not necessarily Southern.
Right. And I think that's a very fair and accurate description. Country is the people who have grown up with the country experience. It's a small town. It's everybody knows everybody. Everybody calls a friend. You can't think you about to slip around and do something because Miss Ethel going to tell your auntie, who's going to tell your mama, and it's going to beat you home. And I think that a lot of people grew up in that aspect, which is country, which I think, like Tree said, spans to New York. It spans to L.A., certain parts. I mean, not L.A., to California. And
we've got people from Kenya and Australia
who have lived the country, who have lived the country experience. And also, I think is where the country music fan base is rooted in country. It's the stories that you tell when you talk about sitting out on the porch and Sunday, all the family is over and you're watching as your cousins are playing jump rope and basketball and football and everybody's playing in the yard and we're making up games. And when people hear that and they go, oh my gosh, that is me, that's us on Sunday, same thing. And I think that I would say that that's country, but I was going to say when Dev said Western, I think Western is definitely, I think what Western is like the beginning of country and Western, which was the cowboys. It was the
horses,
Western, kind of how like the way out West kind of feel. And it was the cowboy way of life. But now I think has moved more towards the fashion of country, which is the fringe and leather and rhinestone. It's kind of, we done jazzed it up a little bit.
Right. But I think don't get me dirty. I look cute. Right?
But I think that now it kind of moves more towards the fashion of the country style and genre.
Well, thank you for clarifying, because I do not want to cosplay country when I go to one of these concerts.
I got to say that I always say, we say, look, everybody want to be Western till it come time. Everybody want to be Western till it come time to wear them boots and fringe, honey. It is not the pain of heart. I tell you, if you don't do this, go with what's comfortable first, because them boots will have you down for 3-4 days after that show. And that fringe, honey, when you go to the bathroom, fringe is not your friend.
Right.
You trying to use it so that you got to pull the fringe around your arm, wrap it around, pull it up. And don't have it on your dress, Lord.
Or you can have a fringe friend where they just come and hold all your friends.
Fringe friend. I love that.
Together. Then look. So I said, everybody want to be West until it comes time for that. So I would always suggest, go comfortable, go be yourself, be comfortable, grab a cowboy hat, put you on some tennis shoes, and then kind of work your way into it from there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Like I said, I had a fringe moment, but because I'm a Prince fan. So I understand you need a fringe friend.
That darn fringe, you raise your arm up, get your mouth in your eyes, you can't see
everywhere. And it don't come falls with instructions. It's like
fringe is like life, it don't come with instructions. You just you don't know till you put it on.
Ever since the first time I heard the word fringe friend come out of Danica's mouth, I was like, that definitely should be a thing. Some people say, hold my hair, honey, hold my fringe.
Right. We need that on the t-shirt, hold my fringe. Now in 2021, you all, I mean, literally have blown up all over the place. And in 2021, you were inducted into the Next Women in Country Association. Do I have that right? And you were also recognized by the British CMAs. Like, you have crossed the pond, as the British say. And how does it feel as a Black woman to be recognized in country music for your work?
I think it's always an honor and a blessing to just be recognized, but even it and beyond just being Black women in country, I think just sometimes as a woman in general has been a little bit more difficult than the white male dominated genre. Mm-hmm. And so it's always just an honor to be recognized and to be mentioned with some of the much bigger names in country music.
And this is Danica. And let me tell you what, I was over the moon because there was times that we felt like we weren't even seeing, like, in the communities that we were playing. We're like, hey, we're here, listen to our songs. And they were like, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, so we had went through a long period of feeling just kind of like unseen, unheard, and that we were like peddling these songs that everybody was telling us they're like, okay, or just average, but we need to be working with this person or we need to be working with that person. So we were kind of starting to lose confidence a little bit. And once we auditioned for AGT, but to know that we were nominated in the British Country Music Awards, when I say, like, it was one of those moments that, like, when you heard it, I was like, what? But, like, later when I was just, like, to myself, it really kind of choked me up a little bit because I was like, people get it all over the world. And we were scared for so long that, like, people just wouldn't get it, or maybe it was something that we were or weren't doing. And then, I don't know, something about that nomination that just showed us, it's like, no, people hear us loud and clear. Keep going. People need this. And so it was a big boost of inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Like I always tell people, Jesus said you got to go outside of your town to be recognized. Yeah. Josephine Baker did the same thing. So you all are on the right path. Now I have to ask this question. Has Queen Bee made a call to work on a secret project in the near future?
She hasn't yet, but you can give her our number, honey.
I think she just probably got an old number or something.
She's out there trying to call. But look, let me tell you what, if Queen Bee ever calls us, it won't be much of a secret, okay? Because that thing about the Southern thing that we got, baby, that mouth get to going. I'm nosy and I talk a lot. Everybody's going to know.
I can imagine you put a big old B on your hat. I can't say nothing, but guess what?
Let me tell you what, that is exactly, if we ever get the call from Queen Bee, that is going to be my hint drop. So you will, when you see it, you call Derek ASAP, okay? Because that means it's time to get the interview, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's your, you heard it first.
I'll be like, call me now. Now, I heard, it was just recently, I was on Twitter one day, and I cooked into a radio show called Color Me Country. And once I plugged in, I was like, who are all these women? How come I don't know who they are? And the music is exquisite. And it was like, I tell people, it's like somebody left the door open and I peeked in and just started watching what was going on the other side. Who are some of the women, Black women specifically, women of color, who are out here doing this country music thing? Because you all have been in this game for quite a while.
We have, but before I even start naming the rest of the women, I have to start with the brains behind Color Me Country first, and that is Reese Palmer.
Reese freaking Palmer.
Yes, there's no way you can't tell us that we are not related, because from the time we first met, like, she has been just incredible. But what Reese did, because, like, she was signed to a label, like, in the 90s, she actually was on, she charted on Billboard and a lot of, in the early 2000s. And, like, she charted on Billboard and all the things, but, you know, just like a lot of other artists, like, you would never hear about it. But what Reese did, especially, and I feel like it's so important, especially like nowadays when they only want to focus on me. Reese used her platform to shine as big and as bright a light on as many people of color who are singing country music. And when I say, she is doing such an incredible job. And if it weren't for Reese, we probably wouldn't know people like Roberta Lee and
Sasha.
And like, who would have thought that there is an amazing Black Canadian woman singing country and killing it? Mm-hmm. And like, people like Julie Williams and Brittany Spencer. And like, the list goes
It's such a big list. I think, like, that you said, I mean, it was what you said.
And Madeline Edwards.
Yeah,
Madeline Edwards.
It was like, there was this great big world of women of color and brown women who were singing country music and we had no idea. And we were like, Reese, I'm Ned Palmer. People. Don't tell I said that, okay? It's a tree. But it was just like, it opened up an entire new world. And what I'm looking for is, I think that if we can all kind of tap into that and somehow tap into that, but tap into the sisterhood of country music. Mm-hmm. I think it's so funny. They've got the boys in country kind of got a saying. They say bros up, which means that, hey, look, it may not be me, but as long as the bro is up. So I was like, but we got to get like a sister's up, like sis up, like, you know what I mean? And we got to have that attitude. It may not be me right now, but it, you know, as long as the sisters are winning, then it'll be a trickle effect. Then another one won, then another one won, then another one. So it just kind of circled that around. It was just the fact that, like, it's so amazing to have this community. We went with her with Color Me Country to the UK last year, and we had so much fun. And there were so many people, like, it's a little porch in this, like, out in this open field, and they've got tons of stages. So the Color Me Country had this front porch stage. It's a really kind of cool stage. All the instruments are set up. It's set up like a kind of like a front porch or a back porch. And it should feel like you've got a few friends that come over and you're singing music for them. Honey, that stage was it was thousands and thousands of people deep. And we were like, what?
That's amazing.
It was so fun. But I'll forever tip my hat off to Reese Palmer for what she is doing to bring awareness to brown people and people of color in country music. Yeah.
And also, I kind of want to just tack another one on the end of that. And that's Miko Marks, because she has been doing some incredible stuff. But it wasn't until Reese invited us to, like, just a little barbecue at her house. And I feel like we witnessed a conversation that, like, people know that it's a thing, but hearing it said out loud by two people actually in it, because Miko is older, like, she's older than Reese, but there's kind of been this thing in the industry. There's like only one at a time, only one of us at a time. But hearing that even whenever Reese came onto the scene, like, initially, like, Miko had already been conditioned to kind of like stay away, or there's only like, all in the sense of that there's only room for one of us. But the moment that the two of them let those guards down and became friends and supported each other, just like Danica said, as much as the guys support each other, like, it's so beautiful watching that sisterhood blossom and grow.
She's very generous. I was lucky to interview her last year, and I found out she's from St. Louis too.
That's right. That Reese.
Oh yeah.
And she knew a lot of the same people. So she's definitely very generous. And I found appreciate that.
I think Mike B is from St. Louis. And I heard them saying, like, hometown or something. And I was like, like roundabout place in St. Louis. I was like, Reese, you're from St. Louis? She's like, yeah.
Yeah. Once you get around it, you'll figure us out. We have, just like you all, we have our own culture. And it's real specific. It's real specific. Your sound is very old school or traditional, if you would. And it reminds me of the country music that I grew up with. But the industry is not like it used to be. How are you all navigating this music industry game as you're rising with your music?
Honey, the best way we can. I do think, like you said, our sound is a little bit more on the traditional side, especially in comparison to a lot of the newer things today. But I think that just kind of goes back to, like you said, the music we listened to growing up and what stuck with us, and the music and the songs that resonated with us the most. And I think that's just kind of what comes out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also kind of feel like, even though we, like, most of our music is like in the style of, like, just traditional country, the fact that we're writing and doing them now, it has that, like, modern twist to it. But the most beautiful thing I've witnessed is watching that gap being bridged between grandparents and their grandkids coming to a concert and enjoying the same music. Cause the grandparents hear it and it's like, okay, this is like real country that I grew up on, but it still has that, it has that fresh new energy that the kids and the grandkids can all relate to as well.
This is Danica. I love that you asked, like, how are we navigating the music industry? And I think not too long ago, I think maybe in November, we were just like so bogged down with like trying to keep up, because there's this place where we are being announced and recognized with like artists like Jelly Roll and Lainey Wilson and Lauren Elena and Ashley McBride and like all of these people who are doing charting and doing numbers right now in country music, and Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn. So we're in all of these conversations, and we are doing our very best to try to keep up with being in that conversation, being a part of those conversations, being in those rooms and staying on the road, playing that amount of shows, playing as many shows as Jelly Roll, playing as many shows as Lainey to try and keep up. And we came to a realization like, y'all, we don't have that kind of money. Like we don't have that. It's, and then the beauty of the thing that I think that we were losing along the way, we were kind of losing the thing that rooted us and grounded us in coming into country music and spreading that love that like our grandmother passed down to us and spreading those stories. And I kind of always have like a little thing. It's like, if you're not going to try to help the future of us be better, then what are you really doing? If you're not passing down anything, what are you doing? And we realized we wanted to be doing more stuff at schools. We want to be doing stuff at the vet homes. We wanted to start doing stuff like, you know what I'm saying? Like hard mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. And we weren't doing that because we were trying to keep up with people who would, you know what I'm saying, that still we might get a roundabout invitation to something, but they weren't like outright inviting us. They weren't invited. They were talking about us in the same conversations, but weren't offering the same stages to us and so on and so forth. And so we made an announcement. We said, listen, look, we're going to pull back and we're going to go the pace that A, we can handle, but B, we're going to go back and make this fun again for us. We're going to go back and we're going to start and do the things that we love to do. And if you love us, tune in, watch the craziness. We're still going to be making music. We're still going to be putting out albums, but we're just going to be doing it at our pace. We're going to be doing it at our speed. And if somebody wants to come along and offer a deal that suits us and fits us, we are not opposed to that. But also we're not just, I think people think that you ought to just take whatever record deal that you can get. But I was like, this also, again, is not the 80s. You don't just have to take right. some terrible. You got, if you do a little reading and you do a little, you know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes they're like, for the money that you're working for, if you can book your gigs right, you can just make it and kill some of your overhead, and you're getting more than what the label would have presented to you anyway. So it's just a matter of looking at those things. And I think that a lot of people feel pressure. They go, oh my God, I'm getting a record deal. And that's just not us either. Like, we want to be cautious and try to be business savvy as we can. Like, we don't know everything, but it's those things. And we were like, you know what, we're going to tackle this in music industry how we know how, and when God sends us the right people and God sends us who we need to kind of advance this and push it further along, he'll do it in his time, and we'll be here working. You know, it says faith without works is dead. So one thing about it, our faith is intact and we work hard, so we know he'll send us. We just got to be in position when he does it. And that's kind of been our outtake on the music industry. And we just let them talk amongst themselves and what they're going to do. And did they quit? Did they this? Did they that? We'll see y'all at the next show. Like, you right. know, so.
Like I always say, watch me work. watch me work. Now, I know we have a reduced amount of time, but I want to talk a little bit about America's Got Talent. You all were not only on one season, but you were on two seasons. How did that come about?
So after the first season, after we competed the first season, they presented us with the opportunity to be a part of AGT All-Stars. But right after we finished up with regular season, Danica actually had to have surgery to have a nodule removed from her throat. She competed the entire season with a freaking mountain-sized nodule. And so we couldn't do All-Stars. And then Fantasy League was presented, and then the fans voted on who they'd like to see back. And we were one of the ones to get selected to come back. So that was a super, it was a lot different from regular season, but it was really, really fun. We enjoyed it. And being on Simon's team was the best thing that we could have hoped for. We wanted Simon to be our mentor, and he was a great mentor throughout the entire process.
Oh, that's amazing. How has that contributed to your rise or your visibility, I should say?
This is true. And I'd have to say it has definitely like contributed like immensely to our visibility. And especially I feel like Danica said, whenever we did our initial audition, like we'd been going back and forth to Nashville for years and years at the time, but it almost seemed like even though everyone saw us, no one saw us. Mm-hmm. And from stepping out on the stage with over 4,000 people in LA, California, who had never heard of us and never heard this song before, standing on their feet and cheering like this has been on their playlist for years. And then like immediately after the audition, like having people from around the world saying how much they love the song, love the songwriting, love the music and everything about it, it kind of helped us widen the scope, because I feel like a lot of people, when you think I want to make it in country music, you think Nashville. But we necessarily didn't have like the best luck getting, like Danica said, getting the opportunities in Nashville, but being able to put it on a global stage and being received globally, like it changed everything, and it kind of made it hard for people to ignore us. And then I'm telling you, anytime we get a chance, we'll be on somebody's red carpet. But
sparkling with your fringe. Not just
but yes.
I have a couple of more questions and then we can say goodbye to everybody. And the one thing that I did notice that you all have such a strong connection with your fan base, your audience. What is your secret?
The congregation.
And I was just going to ask, what do you call them? What is their name?
The congregation. And so we have the congregation, and then we have the Mile High congregation. And back during COVID, we were too new of an entity to qualify for like PPP loan for businesses to like stay afloat during the pandemic. And it was just like, it seemed like everything, we either were to this or not enough of this. So we were trying so hard. And, you know, I think the thing, people always go, man, y'all and y'all's fan base. And I think that we, and sometimes it probably is a little too much. And I always say, they're spoiled.
We know it,
but don't tell us about it. Okay. We know. It's like people who have bad kids. I know, but you don't have to tell me. But so during the pandemic, we had a group called the Mile High Congregation, and you could pay $100 to join this group. And it would be like exclusive videos and pictures and sometimes lives and chats that we wouldn't do with the regular congregation. And so that's kind of, and I don't know, I guess in some way I thought it would die out, but it's still kind of going. But our fan base is, I don't know, I've heard people use the term rabbit, and I don't really know if I've ever heard of it before, but the way that they describe it, it is just like, let me tell you what, I'll tell people, look, you can take any fan base in the world in music, somebody said the beehive. I said, well, let's not push it. Okay. Before we go there, that's.
But you know what? Honestly, I have to say the beehive has numbers. They've got numbers, but like, and it's funny because Danica's been going back to Gideon a lot recently. We might be few in number, but I tell you, the congregation will show up. They will pray you under the table or beat you to a pulp if necessary.
And whatever's necessary. But they don't play about they three Mississippi girls, okay? And we're honored. But I think that our secret, or the secret sauce, is honesty and transparency. Like, if we're hurting, we say we're hurting. If we're happy, we say we're happy. When they tell us, we have a thing called We Win Wednesday, and it's just where everybody gets to check in one day in the week and go, okay, man, this happened for me this week. This happened, or this is coming up. This is going to happen. This is what I did. We have people who log in and say, look, I'm 57 and I finally got my college degree, or I found out today that I beat cancer. And we show up and we clap and we cheer and we pray. And I don't know. And I guess if I kind of think of it, I don't know. I can't say that I wouldn't want to be a part of that. Like, it's fun. It's a loving, it feels like it's a family for sure. Cause sometimes we have to break up little quarrels too. I'm like, listen, down a little bit.
Ma'am.
So, Right. But that fan base of ours is absolutely the best. And I don't just say that because I'm on the interview with you. They know it. And I will scream it to the top of any mountaintop. The congregation, I put them against anybody.
They're crazy just like us.
It's ultimately what it is. Now, people say your pets are a reflection of you. Your fan base is a reflection of you. Crazy. They're loving. They're fun.
It reminds me of another person from Mississippi, Jimmy Buffett. His fan base is serious.
Those parrot heads.
Yes.
Look, the parrot heads is the beehive back in the day. Okay. They a whole move by themselves. Okay.
Just shows that you all are really ahead of the game because there are people still trying to put their tribes together. Now, my final question is, I happened to pop on your live on YouTube last night and you all premiered a song.
Yes.
Called If You Ain't Wearing Boots. Can you tell us a little bit about that song before we go?
So this is Danica, and this song is super, it's growing to be more special to me than it already was. And it's because we had an album called The Girls Are Back in Town. That was our former album. And we really wrote that album to like show Nashville and the music business, like we can write radio songs, we can write rocking songs, we can do this, we can do that. And before we went on tour, our fans kept telling us, listen, y'all, make sure you make time to slow down. Make sure don't you get overwhelmed. Slow down. When you need to say no, say no. But they were like, these are going to be some of the greatest moments and you want to remember them. Like, don't just zoom right past them. So in being in the crazy part of tour and all of that, we had those moments where we vowed to them, we would settle down and we'd slow down. And doing that, we started kind of like talking about growing up. And I mean, like, I don't know, just all the amazing things like from back in the day, and which really brought this song to be. And it was just talking about like everybody. And that's what I say. And this is why I love the storytelling of country music, because even if you didn't grow up country, even if you didn't grow up Southern, even if you didn't grow up Western, everybody got that grandpa, uncle, grandma, somebody who got a story to one up yours. You could say, oh man, look, I was at school and my grandpa was like, well, back in my day, I had to walk to school 12 miles uphill both ways. Like, oh, what? And so, but it was like, we all had that grandparent, but that person that was always kind of, we would call it one-upping, but they had a way of just showing you that, like, just reminding you those subliminal ways to remind you to work hard, remind you to be kind, remind you to, it was those life lessons that they were dropping you at the time you didn't know they were dropping. And that is exactly what If You Ain't Wearing Boots is. It's how we came up. And I remember one time, my sister Deb tells the story sometimes, is that I got my first pair of, I don't know why I wanted green boots so bad. And now looking back, I was like, girl, but I wanted this green pair of boots. My mom would surprise me with them. And I tell people, new boots are not your friend, okay? But if you can wear them enough days to break them in, get them broken in, they will never betray you. It'll be your go-to boot every time.
Yeah, like I broke them boots in and didn't take them off for 6 months straight.
And that is not an exaggeration.
My mama came in, she said, girl, if you don't take these darn boots off.
Did you sleep in them? Did you sleep in them?
Oh, I did, honey. I did.
No exaggeration.
It was me and them boots. It was us against the world. But for us and our story, it just says that you won't ever really understand. Like if you go through the chorus and it says, let grandpa tell you stories about the way things used to be and back when roads were dirt. Look, we had to walk up our church to my grandma's house, baby. You might could catch a ride with somebody, but you was walking.
You walking.
Like, you know, you know, we talked about the back to a simpler time when you were down. Nowadays, when people get down, people gonna put you on Facebook so fast. She out here bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she don't have no job. But back in the day, we had a way of covering each other. And it was like, you know what? Come here. Well, I know somebody. I'll help you. Let me talk to Mr. John. Let me see if he'll give you some work. So it was back in the time where we would pick each other up and not kick us while we were down. And it just, I don't know. And it just, it has really become one of my favorite songs. And it's one that I think resonates around with everybody. We watch people from on the other side of the world be like, this song made me cry when I heard it. It reminded me of my grandparents. And I'm like, man, but it just shows you the power of music, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful song and it's very peaceful. And I'm thinking the noise that's happening right now, we need something to just calm us down. And so thank you for the song. And I want to thank you for your time. I know that you were on the road doing dates. So how can people find you, connect with you on the internet, and support your movement?
You can find us on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all music platforms at Chapel Heart Band. For our shows and dates, you can visit our website at chapelheart.com, where you can get your merch, dates, all the things.
And I will say that too, like, it's a little bit of a shameless plug, but people always say it. They hear our story and they go, how can I help those girls? Like, I want to do something. And we are about as independent as it gets. But we bought us a bus. We named her Jolene. And I tell people, look, if we can make enough money to keep enough gas and Jolene and to feed us on the road, I promise you we'll get to where you live at some point. So every time that you buy a shirt, every time that you buy merch online or at the shows, it goes to keeping us on the road and all the things. So if anybody says, how can I help? And you have, and you're able to help financially, look, go to the website and grab something from the merch side. Also, you'll be looking fly. Get you one of them little pictures without a face on it. And if anybody asks you, tell them these are my best friends. Right.
Besties. Well, thank you all so much for your time. I really appreciate this. And the best of luck to you all. And I'll tell you what, you have a home at Black Women Amplified. Anytime you want to come and have a conversation, you are more than welcome here. And I will get to Kevin so that he can get to you.
Please.
Yes, tell him. We said hello and we miss him.
But I do want to say again, thank you so much for sharing your platform with us. And thank you for the platform that you have, because I think what a beautiful message, what a powerful message. And having a place that women, powerful women, can come and encourage each other and speak well of each other. And just to keep spreading that positivity and the message that hard work pays off and all the things. So I just want to tell you, thank you so much for that. And to keep it up, because you are amazing at this. And we love you.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry.
I would say, God sends you those little road flags every now and then to tell you you're in the right direction. So maybe this is just one of those little road flags. Keep doing what you're doing. And keep raising it up, keep doing it, keep growing it, be beyond on the right track. This is it.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I just want to say God bless you all. And I'm wishing abundance and light and joy to guide every path that you're going in. And Kevin and I talked about it. Like, he sees big things for you all. And if he sees it, I know it's true, because he sees lots of things.
Right.
So
Kevin
just
has seen it all, honey.
Yes. Yes, right. Yes. And I just thank you. I just can't say thank you enough. So I'm going to go before I go into another question, because I have so many questions.
Means we got to do it again.
Right.
Definitely.
Call us so we can schedule part two. Okay.
Definitely. Definitely.
We'll get you. We'll see if we can't schedule a day. We've got a little more time, and then we'll get part two in.
No problem. Many blessings to you all. Thank you all. I appreciate it. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Black Women Amplified. We hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe and log on to blackwomenamplified.com for more information. Keep shining.